Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Early Wedge presented by BetMGM. I am your host, EC, otherwise known as Eric Cohen. Hey, I'm back after a week. You know, after Scottie Scheffler won for the fourth time, producer Jake said, you're off. I mean, that's what happens when you put him on your no bet list at under 10 to 1. How did that work out for me? We'll talk about that no bet list later in the show, because I think I'm going to have some issues with something that happened at the Zurich Classic. We'll talk about that. But let's bring in the stars of the show. These are the two of the smartest golf minds in the business, none other than Patrick McDonald from CBS Sports and the host of The Early Edge every weekday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Easy for me to say, one, see you, Najad. Gentlemen, nice to be with you once again. I'm going to start off with something. Since I wasn't here last week, Patrick, I'll start with you. If you were to have your own tournament on the PGA Tour, the Patrick McDonald Invitational, and it wasn't to be a traditional stroke play 72-hole format, what would it look like?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like the, since it's untraditional, we're going to go team a little bit. I don't like the four ball at the Zurich Classic. I like the alternate shot a lot more. I think the first 2 days we do stroke play, and then we cut it to the top 32 teams of match play bracket style from there. All alternate shot.
At the Cienajad Invitational, what format would you play?
Okay, first of all, I want to adopt Patrick's answer, but I don't think I understand the team portion of it once you cut it down from stroke play. So advance that for me.
It's all team, so it's like Ryder Cup foursomes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying they were individuals and then they get teamed up after two rounds. I like how Patrick's doing, and I like the alternate shot component because that really feels like a team component. And I think, listen, same answer. I think 2 days and then you pare it down to the top 16 or whatever, top eight if that's how you want to play it, or top 12 with some wild card teams that get a bye. Who knows? But I think that would be a really cool event.
All right, can I say, guys, that the PGA Tour made a mistake this year because they took away the best event of the entire season that was a non-major, the Dell match play. I love individual match play. Remember, there's a me in team, so we're making this all about, you know, I want everybody by themselves. I don't want a team thing. I want an individual winner. I want stroke play for the first two rounds, and then I want to take the top 16 and make it a bracket-style single elimination. How hard is that? What is the PGA Tour doing? We don't need this team stuff. All right. We're back to a stroke play event, individual 156 player this week. But then after this week, it gets fun. We have the elevated Wells Fargo next week, the PGA Championship after that. And then June has elevated Memorial, US Open, and then Travelers after that. So a lot of big money purses coming up here. But this week, not so much. And well, Patrick, you're saying your storyline is, well, I guess this is kind of the last no fun week for a little while, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you could put it that way. And you kind of hit the nail on the head with my storyline, where we're about to get into a really busy stretch for these top tier guys where full field events aren't really too common. You go to the Quail Hollow next week, and then the week before the U.S. Open. I mean, that three-week stretch around the U.S. Open is Memorial, which is a signature event, the U.S. Open, and then the Travelers Championship, which is another signature event. So, you know, let's just celebrate these full field events a little bit more, because, one, the cut sweat is always great. Yes. On Friday. The PGA Tour missed the boat in that aspect, in my opinion. And two, it's always more fun betting with 150 plus players in the field.
All right, but is it as fun betting at a course that you might not know as well, Sia, in TPC Craig Ranch, also one that tends to give up a lot of birdies?
Yeah, it should be a scoring fest. But what's so interesting about TPC Craig Ranch or any course that you've only had 3 years of data on is that we're not really sure, because of a 3 year sample size, like what we need to emphasize. Yeah, we can look at the 3 years of data and come to some conclusions. But the question becomes, can you actually come to those conclusions safely? And that's why in this tournament, I might be looking at things or emphasizing things that other people aren't emphasizing. I mean, I know like long iron play, like everybody's going to kind of agree to the extent you like the proximity buckets. Everyone's going to agree that there's going to be a lot more irons in, you know, in your hand with 175 to 200, 200 to 225. But then there's discrepancies in the market in terms of, or I should say in the shows that are happening like this one. Hey, is it just a second shot course? Do we need to emphasize off the tee play? Does driving distance matter? Can we just lean on ball strikers like Keith Mitchell and Ben Ahn and kind of ignore the putter? Like there's a lot around the green play being very much minimized, but maybe that comes into play because there's weather. There's a lot of different narratives you can spin for TPC Craig Ranch. And frankly, some of them are going to be very right and some of them probably going to be very wrong. So I think this is a very interesting tournament.
All right. The one thing about this tournament that is also interesting to me is Jordan Spieth. Is it make or break time for him? He's the best player in the field, the highest ranked golfer in the world in the field. I think he's number 20 right now. And I don't think we're going to see another tournament for a long time where Jordan Spieth is the number one odds maker's choice heading into the tournament. So, Jordan, you can't win this week. Is it time to add you to my don't bet list?
I think
I don't think he's going to. The spoiler alert: he's not going to be on my list. But at some point, when you're the best player in the field, really by far, Will Zalatoris pulled out today. So outside of Jordan, I mean, Siwoo Kim, is there anybody on paper that can match Jordan Spieth's career accomplishments in this field? The answer is probably not. So I don't know. That's the make or break for me. Whether Taylor brings up a good point, whether this week should be a factor as well. Patrick, do you have any insight on that? Thursday, I guess some rain and Patrick, anybody got anything on weather this week?
Yeah, I mean, I'll step in here. I mean, first of all, it's ever changing. So, I mean, there's no definitive statements we can make right now, but it looks like a lot of rain is coming Thursday morning before they even start play and going into like Thursday morning when you're supposed to start play. So I don't know the extent of the rain in terms of whether it's actually going to delay play or not, but it very well could. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of windy conditions and gusts basically throughout the 4 days and rain. So what's really interesting, and it's part of the reason that in the first round leader market, I'm only putting out two names right now, and I'll tweet out probably two more, and I'll put them in my article, but my article comes out pretty soon. So I might end up tweeting out two or three more names in the first round leader market. There's an interesting potential scenario where they don't finish Thursday. Like, and I'm not calling my shot here, but I'm just saying, like, if it does get delayed, then some of those guys that are going Thursday afternoon, and I'm speaking about this in the DFS kind of world and in the first round leader world, some of those guys Thursday afternoon might be going Friday morning. And then we got to look at the conditions Friday morning. Are they getting the best of it versus what would have been happening Thursday afternoon? I think the answer to that, by the way, is yes. But again, it's just, this is tricky. This is one of those tournaments where, in DFS, for example, you may want to play both waves. You may want to play both sides of it because we're just not sure where the weather's going to land in terms of when it's going to be difficult and when it's not going to be difficult.
All right, let's move on to DFS, as you just mentioned it. And it's funny, you know, just kind of looking ahead. Well, I mean, there's a surprise. Well, not really a surprise. Looking at Patrick's list, we'll talk about that in a second. But Sia, we'll start with you. Both of you are fading the defending champion of this event, Jason Day. Why? I mean, Australians generally play well in Texas. Why are we going against J Day here?
Well, first of all, to the extent you think it's a second shot golf course, I mean, anybody looked at Jason Day's metrics when it comes to approach lately, he has been on fire with the putter. Like, that's great. And by the way, I'm emphasizing that a little bit more this week because it is a birdie fest, because it should be a scoring frenzy. You want a guy that's not just going to get hot with the putter one day. You want a guy that's somewhat consistent with the putter. That doesn't mean we have to rule out guys like Keith Mitchell or Ben Ahn, who have kind of struggled in that department, but it is certainly something to consider. So when I look at Jason Day, he's got that box checked. But when I look at DFS, and like I'm looking at his ownership right now, it's not prohibitively high by any means. Guys like Jordan Spieth, Siwoo Kim are going to be higher than Jason Day. Even with that said, though, I just don't really appreciate the approach game. And at 10,400, listen, if you want to play the game theory thing on Jason Day, I kind of get that. But I'm already doing that with my picks, right? You see Minwoo Lee here. Nobody's playing Minwoo Lee at 9,400. He's going to be probably in that 7 to 10% range, which is far lower than Jason Day. So again, do I love Minwoo Lee? Do I think he's got a safe floor? The answer is no, he doesn't have a safe floor, but he does have a ton of upside, in my opinion. And because nobody's playing him, and because DFS is a game which is predicated on ownership, I'm going to dive in on Minwoo Lee and not really regret it, even if he completely blows up. So I'm going Minwoo. I'm going Thomas Dietrich. When I looked at when I took an initial assessment, and I kind of threw out around the green a little bit, which might be a mistake. We'll see what the weather has in play here. And I looked at, you know, ball striking and length off the tee and ability to get hot with the putter and consistency in that regard, Thomas Dietrich kind of jumped off the page. And for the record, I don't think he's like going to be super popular by any means. I'd be shocked if he is. So I also think he's a guy that's not going to be very chalky if you want to pair him with Minwoo Lee or just have him in a different lineup. The last guy is Nate Lashley. I never play Nate Lashley, but I do have to lean on what I'm seeing with the metrics and what I'm seeing with the course history. There's a lot of people out there that'll say, hey, course history doesn't really matter that much. And that might be true, but it's still circumstantial evidence at the very least as to how Nate Lashley might play or his fit or how comfortable he is at TPC Craig Ranch. So Nate Lashley at 7,300, I think is pretty sneaky, not necessarily because he's going to be super low owned, but I think he's a guy that could really be in the top 20 potentially on Sunday and really doing some damage in a good way with your DFS lineups.
That's an A-plus pick in my book, because you know where Nate Lashley went to college, Sia?
University of Arizona.
You are correct. That's right. Bear down. We're learning right here. There you go. Other way, Patrick, other way. All right. So if you watch this show on a weekly basis, you know that one Patrick McDonald is the president of the Grayson Sig fan club. Mm-hmm. And so yet again, in the DFS section on Early Wedge, Grayson Sig happens to make an appearance. But why, oh why, this week at TPC Craig Ranch, do you like Mr. Sig?
Ever heard of back-to-back top 10 finishes for Grayson Sig's inside? Come on, easy. He's catching fire right now. The iron play has been great. He played great in Corrales. He played great alongside Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket Chesson Hadley at the Zurich Classic, which generally I'm not putting a ton of stock into that event. But look, it's a nice little added bonus for him. And so I'm going to keep on riding the wave with Sig, because it looks like he's turning a corner with a couple of these finishes. So I like him at 7,400. David Skins, I was in on last week as well with Radford legend Callum Tarran. I'm going back to the Wiley veteran, the 42-year-old second-year PGA Tour player at 6,600. He's kind of popped up on leaderboards super randomly. Final group, final round there at PGA National. Final group, final round there at the Houston Open alongside Jaeger and Scottie Scheffler. And the one time he played this event a couple years back, he was 13 under at the halfway point, right in contention, touched the top of the leaderboard, completely crumbled with a Saturday 74. New experience under his belt. He's playing decent enough. I'm going to take a chance on him as well. Mackenzie Hughes, 8,600. I'm kind of like all in on Mac Hughes this week, which is pretty scary to say. I know. I know, Sia. It doesn't feel good, but we're here. I know the around the green game, the first 3 years at this course isn't really too relevant, but Mac Hughes is really good, which you wouldn't really think about with his distance. He's really good at easy par fives. He is one of the best scorers on par fives that average around 4.6, something like that. And TPC Craig Ranch has all of them. So he's going to take advantage of the par fives. His short game is going to keep him in it if it gets a little hairy. We know he can putt the lights out of the golf ball, which you need to do. So I will take a chance on Mac Hughes. And like Sia, I'm out on the Aussie. I'm out on the defending champion. The iron play leaves a lot to be desired right now.
If you're watching the show and building a DFS lineup and don't have Grayson Sig, or at least not considering Grayson Sig for that lineup, you're making a mistake. I just want to say that. Patrick's, I mean, I'm starting to get on board. At one of these days, I'm going to include Grayson Sig somewhere in my bets on this program. Just want to point that out. Because
thank you.
You're, every week you're talking him up. And I, like Steven Jaeger. I didn't know much about Steven yet. Last year, Sia was talking about Jaeger. And then we see his ascension. Mexico T3, he wins in Houston. Now you never know. The sky's the limit for Jaeger. Just saying. Okay, now let's move on to Sia's FRLs. What an awesome – I've got to admit, I love both of these choices. All right, so tell us why Alex Noren is a guy that might pop up later in this program on somebody's outright card, believe it or not. Why do you like him to lead after the first round?
Oh, I believe it. And first of all, just like I said, I have two guys here. I'm going to add, follow me on Twitter. I'm sure most of you that are watching do. You follow probably all three of us, but I have two for now. I'll add two or three. We might even have a weather graphic here, and that's it kind of justifies why I'm only putting out two right now. But Alex Noren, listen, I'm not a guy that usually picks Alex Noren, but he's really truly good at everything, especially as it relates to the rest of the talent in this field. It's not like we're talking about the Masters, right? But honestly, the ball striking, the short game, it's all there. And for the record, his history here is very good too. And I do like to see that for a first round leader potential winner, somebody who's been on this course, is clearly comfortable on this course. And frankly, when it comes to the short game as well, and we know this about Alex Noren, like, the weather conditions are not going to get in the way of his game. There are people that it's definitely going to affect. Alex Noren is not one of them. So at 45-1, really like him. And Nate Lashley, I talked about. Listen, another guy who has good course history here, which I think is a little bit more relevant, not completely relevant, but a little bit more relevant when you're talking about a first round leader. But I love what he's done recently. I love his course history, and the metrics really speak to me as well. He's not like the classic course fit, nor is Alex Noren in terms of the outright card that I have. I mean, I'm looking for guys maybe with a little bit more distance, things of that nature. But Nate Lashley has played really well here. I'm down with 80-1.
Coming up next, C has given out a good one there during the matchup section. Get ready. You want some plus money? C is dishing it out after hear from one of our sponsors.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
In this section, sometimes I will take Patrick on as far as showdowns. But this week, his card is A+ in my book. I'm going A+. All right, Patrick, you and I actually have one that is common, that we're together on one of them. All right, so explain. Tell us why you like, let's talk, we talked about Stephen Jaeger last segment. You're fading Tom Kim and going with Jaeger. Why do you like it?
I love Stephen Jaeger this week. He just won in this state a month ago. Are you kidding me? He's the only guy to beat Scottie Scheffler over the last couple months. He's a killer, an absolute killer. But he's got that high floor, and now he's got this high ceiling as well. Super well-rounded, has a great history here, played well at the Heritage after a debut appearance at the Masters, which I assume took a lot out of him emotionally. I like that he's coming off an off week as well. He did that before the Houston Open after a long stretch of play. So love him. And then Tom Kim, generally, I always think he's a bit mispriced in the market. He typically from week to week, he's the one guy I can never really get behind. So I'm going to take on Jaeger here at -118 at BetMGM. And then I'm going Mac Hughes all in, baby, with the Canadian -110 over Keith Mitchell, EC's favorite golfer. The ball striking is obviously great for Keith Mitchell. He's a bomber. You think wide open golf course, big greens, it should suit his game. I can't get behind the putter in a birdie fest. I like Keith Mitchell, where the winning score might maybe touch 20 under at the lowest, right? You want him kind of in the mid-teens, I think. And meanwhile, Mackenzie Hughes has proven he can take it deep, and I just like his putter and the way his iron play is trending at the moment.
Yeah, and that one's also on DraftKings as well. That's where I found it, at least. All right, see, you got an interesting little conundrum here.
Yeah.
So you're fading Tom Kim, but then you're playing Tom Kim. Can you explain how this all works out here?
So here's how it works or doesn't work. If Sungjae Im has a really good tournament, both of these likely lose. So this is really a fade of Sungjae Im, and it's the only way I'm playing Ben on. So I'll explain. By the way, Joe, you ask, is this three ball on DK? It is. This is on DraftKings again. Don't forget, there's tournament matchups, and there's already round one three balls. So don't get confused. Make sure you click on tournament matchups. But both of these are on DK. I'll start with Tom Kim over Sungjae Im. I agree with Patrick on Tom Kim. I do think he's rounding into form a little bit with the approach play and with the putter. I think he's a pretty good course fit. Maybe not as good as Sungjae Im from a course fit standpoint, but good news, Sungjae Im is just not playing very well. I mean, he's really not playing very well. So I think... honestly think this price should be like minus 135 or minus 140. Sungjae Im still carries a little bit better name recognition than Tom Kim. That's why he's only a slight dog, but really like Tom Kim, minus 120. Again, if either of these two games are trending into form, it's definitely Tom Kim's without a question. But here's the thing. Patrick's right. Tom Kim is not exactly playing lights out. And with that said, I wanted to play Ben on in the outright market, but I just couldn't get behind the idea of the putter being good enough to win this tournament. If somebody wants to take Ben on in the outright market, I have no argument. He and Keith Mitchell were like the last ones I was considering, and I just ended up keeping them off my card. But at plus 170 over two guys that have been relatively pedestrian, which might even be a compliment for them, Tom Kim and Sungjae Im, I like Ben on at plus 170 there. And just keep in mind, you don't have to put a full unit on this, right? You can put like one third of a unit and basically, you know, catch up to the full unit here, or a half unit, however you want to play it. So this is one of those where you're kind of rooting for Tom Kim and rooting against Tom Kim with these two bets. So for me, I'm putting a full unit on Tom Kim minus 120 over Sungjae Im, and probably a half a unit on this Ben on play.
All right. Now I understand where you are going with that, but we're just fading Sungjae. It's basically the moral of the story here. All right. Yeah. So I agree 100% with Patrick, who has A plus plays in this section. This week, we're fading Keith Mitchell whenever we have a chance to fade that putter. I mean, his short game stinks. His long game's pretty good. As Patrick has said, I mean, numbers are there. But in his last appearance here in 2022, he was T76. That's not very good. Mackenzie Hughes was T14 last year. Okay, T14 is greater than T76. I'm good with that. All right, now this one's a little risky. Bear with me here. Bo Hostler over Ben Griffin at even money on DraftKings. So Griffin missed the cut here last year. That's fine. But he's kind of played pretty well in his last four tournaments, two top 20s and the other two top 40s, which were in the two Texas tournaments. Now, Hostler lives in Texas, so we're playing the home angle, I guess, home state angle here. He has struggled of late, but he did post a T17 here in 2022, and I wanted something that had plus money, even though even money, I guess, kind of counts. So we're going to roll with that. Going with Hostler over Ben Griffin. I mean, this one I'm going to clench my teeth on, but I think Bo's going to show up this week, so we're going to roll with it. Even money, find that on DraftKings. All right, on to the finishing positions. Now, I have a theme to my finishing position bets. Now, Patrick, do you know the sponsor of this event is the CJ Group? Do you know where the CJ Group is based out of?
Of course. I mean, it's not every day that a South Korean conglomerate is honoring one of the legends of the game in Byron Nelson. What a match made in heaven.
This is the prime example of a tournament that needed a sponsor and a sponsor that needed a tournament. And though it doesn't seemingly make a ton of sense, it makes a bunch of sense, right?
It doesn't roll off the tongue, though. I'm just saying. It's like, it's hard to say. Like, we need a better flow. Go on, Pat. So,
CJ, they were in the fall. They desperately wanted to get into the regular season, and then AT&T, because Pebble became a signature event, they pushed more money into that, so they dropped this one. I think the biggest miss, though, is that CJ has like a plaque as their trophy over the years, right? It kind of looks like an ancient scroll or something, but it's got to be a cup, right? It's got to be a cup.
What are we doing here? Yeah. And like, this is why to hang a plaque. Like
this is why Patrick McDonald is one of the smartest. Who knew that they give out a plaque at the end of the CJ Cup? I mean, things you find out here in Early Wedge. All right. Now, speaking of things you find out, see, I actually didn't realize because I wasn't up at 5 a.m. For the end of the RBC Heritage on Monday. What happened to Tom Hoagie on 18? I just saw that he finished T19, and I remembered that he was like flirting with the top 10 and apparently getting a quintuple bogey on 18 kind of hurts you. Imagine if you had a top 10 bet. Is anybody out there listening to the show have a top 10 bet on Tom Hoagie either live or pre-tournament headed into the RBC Heritage? Because if you do, I honestly feel bad for you.
I was on a show with Pat Mayo earlier this morning, and he specifically referenced that he had a top 10 ticket on Tom Hoagie until the quintuple bogey got him to T18.
I'll tell you what, there are a few things in life that would get me to quit betting. That's one of them. I mean, that fairway is so wide. So like he hit it out of bounds. I mean, like I went back and looked at the shot tracker today, and like he was hitting shots that I would hit. Like he had 200 yards in and he hit it 150. Like that's something I would do. So, I mean, if I even got it that far. So I really don't understand how that happened. But nonetheless, you're going back to the well, but you're being conservative with the top 30 just in case he gets a 10 on the last at TPC Craig Ranch, right?
Well, yeah, kind of. Maybe Tom Hoagie needs to be investigated like Jontay Porter. Maybe he had the over on his finishing position. Something to consider. Let's see if there was something big in the market there against Tom Hoagie. But yeah, I'm going Tom Hoagie T30. Let's see if listen, we get to the outright card. Maybe I've got Tom Hoagie there too. But I like this T30. I think it's very comfy, if you will, at minus 110. For the record, if you want to be a little bit more risk advanced, T20 is like plus 140, plus 150. I think he's okay there. But listen, if I'm getting close to even money on a T30, that's the bet I'm going to take. So I don't think I'll get into Tom Hoagie a little bit later, but I think this is a really good number for a guy that is – been really good on approach, long iron. Well, he's been actually a little shaky on approach lately, but over a longer period of time, he's been very good on approach. The long iron play specifically is great, and we know he can get hot with the putter. I just really like the form he's in general, even though off the tee, he's not exactly going to do a ton of damage. Alex Noren, T20 at plus 130 again. I think Alex Noren is one of those guys that's probably going to get some outright bets, and I think it's deserved, but I just don't think I see him winning this tournament. I see him potentially top 10-ing, top 15 maybe, but top 20 at plus 130, willing to speculate there.
All right. So my theme is that I'm going with three South Koreans for my finishing positions. We're going to start with Ben On, who I believe Sia talked about in the last segment. Top 20 at plus 138 on BetMGM. The irons are excellent, but as I have in my notes, the putter has been dreadful. I mean, like really, really bad. He had a T14 here last year, even losing strokes while putting. If he could putt like close to field average, we got this. The long game is fine. Like Keith Mitchell. Like the long game is fine. I don't know how you can bet Keith Mitchell or Ben On outright right now with the way they're putting. They just can't. By the way, K.H. Lee won this event in 2021 and 2022 at TPC Craig Ranch. He has the best career history at this course, and I'm getting plus 200 at BetMGM for a top 20. That's phenomenal. Sign me up. They don't call him TPC Lee for a reason. And then S.H. Kim, top 40 at plus 140. T13 and T36 in his last two stroke play tournaments, and he gained nearly 9 strokes putting in San Antonio. Hey, I'm good with that. Maybe he should teach Ben On a thing or two and Keith Mitchell, and then we would have some more outrights to discuss. Wait, did I see the outrights correct that somebody has Keith Mitchell in the next? Oh, we'll talk about that. If you haven't made your bets yet this week, which I doubt that you have, make sure to do so at BetMGM, because new BetMGM customers can sign up today and get up to $1,500 in bonus bets. Just place your first wager of at least $10, and you will receive up to $1,500 instantly if your bet loses with bonus code EDGE. That's E-D-G-E, EDGE. Coming up next, we find out who's taking the Keith Mitchell plunge. Is there one? Oh, wait, maybe not. But we have some other outrights to get to here on The Early Wedge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So astutely, in late February or early March, I put together a list of players not to bet You cannot bet outright. Well, Keith Mitchell, who I mentioned, is definitely on that list and will remain on that list indefinitely. Shane Lowry is also on this list. And wait, what? Wait, Jake, the Zurich counts? It's a counts. Team event.
Counts.
This guy hasn't won an individual stroke play event in the United States since like 2015. You cannot count Shane Lowry and put a line through him. The rest of the outside of Scheffler, which is real times four. Yeah, that's not good. Outside of that, it's a great list. But Shane Lowry, we got to discuss that. I mean, guys, do I deserve a break here that a team event should not count? Rory McIlroy carried him to victory.
I'll say this. I understand why people say it counts, but I think there's nuance here. Like if I'm an attorney and I'm arguing your case, I'm saying because Shane Lowry got carried, because he didn't really earn that like Rory McIlroy earned it, I'm going to defer to him not actually counting like the win here. So if he had played a little bit better, especially on Sunday, I'd be against you on this, EC, but he did not earn that win. Like, listen, I'm the biggest Rory hater ever. Like, I fade him every single week, including last week, by the way. I had a great DFS week in the sense that the three teams I put out there, including, I even added a fourth team, they all made the cut. They all did pretty well. But I faded Rory and Shane Lowry, and so I paid for it. But the bottom line is I don't think you should get the cross off here.
All right, Patrick, do you agree or disagree with Sia?
It counts. Got a trophy, got the winner's check. He didn't play great on Sunday, but not all winners play great on Sunday. And look, he hit one of the most consequential shots as well. Rory dumped one in the fairway bunker off the tee with an iron in hand on 16. Shane Lowry hit a pearl in there. They convert a birdie, give them the leeway where they're able to bogey the difficult 17th and then birdie the 18th. You got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. I will say, though, I'm very concerned for this list at the Wells Fargo for you.
Now, Wyndham Clark and Rory at the Wells Fargo. There you go. Spoiler alert. I'm going with the history. No. Who are you concerned about next week?
Spoiler alert.
I would say number three on that list is going to win very soon.
The guy.
And okay. I think Cantlay could be coming into something.
Cam Young.
So, you can't bet Cam Young until he wins. At this point, I've tried for 2 years to bet Cam Young. And like every time I try, I did it the other week. It just didn't work. At some point, you just got to cut your losses. When he wins, great. Then I can start betting him. That putter is too bulky for me. All right, time to give our favorite outrights. Patrick, we'll start with you. You've got a great duo here, starting with one Steven Yeager, who's Sia is the president of the Steven Yeager fan club, but you're going with him this week.
Yeah, Sia invited me into the Oval Office. I accepted gladly, and we're going to go with the German at 33-1. He's playing great golf. We just saw that he can win down the stretch against the best player in the world, so I'm going to take him in this field as well for all the reasons I laid out in the matchup section. Mackenzie Hughes as well. I'm going all in, so I got to bet him outright at 45-1. T14, like you said here in his appearance last year, can roll the rock really well. And I think that's going to be very much needed this week. So those are my two guys.
All right. Respectable. Now, Sia, you have an interesting list. We do share one as well. But Adam Scott at 25-1. Adam Scott hasn't won in a while. And you're going with him at 25. Now, I'm also picking a guy that hasn't won ever on the PGA Tour at lower odds. So I guess I'm not one to talk. Why do you like Adam Scott this week?
First of all, I'm just seeing your list for the first time, and I can't believe anybody aside from myself is on Minwoo Lee. So that's actually kind of cool that you're on that. First of all, I don't want to bet Adam Scott. I really don't. Like, I don't even really like this card, but I felt like I had to bet Adam Scott. By the way, he's 25-1 at BetMGM. Everywhere else, he's about 22-1. Go ahead and take that if that's the best number you got. But I just wanted to say BetMGM tends to have the better outright numbers, and this one is as well, plus 2,500. Listen, Scott's doing a lot of things right. Like, sometimes he's not mirroring the ball striking. Like, sometimes he's great off the tee, and he's, like, not so great on approach and vice versa. But he's pretty much crushing it with the short game. And for the record, the ball striking is pretty good, notwithstanding the fact that sometimes he has some bumps in the road. The Texas golf narrative, if you want to play that card, really good. His history here, really good. The long iron play, really good. Birdie fest, birdie or better, he rates out really well there. So listen, I don't ever bet Adam Scott. And I agree with the sentiment that, like, hey, listen, dude, Adam Scott just doesn't win. But then again, we're looking at a field where the top dog is Jordan Spieth, who we're not sure if he's going to win again, and Siwoo Kim. Like, if there was ever a field for Adam Scott to break through, it would be this field. So I think at 25-1, it's a reasonable number. I'll move on to Minwoo Lee. Give a shout out to I.M. Thorb and Jeff Feinberg. We were talking about this earlier today. Nobody is on Minwoo Lee. And I think this is one of those situations where we might be reading the course wrong a little bit. Like, Minwoo Lee has some trouble on approach sometimes, but off the tee, he's a giant. And for the record, ball striking, he can be good. He can marry the approach with the off the tee game, and the putter can get hot. I think his length is really going to benefit him here. He can do well at birdie fests. I think 28-1 is an interesting number. I kind of wish it was longer, but to be honest, I think the market is keeping it short. I think there's some sharp money coming in on Minwoo Lee. He's at 28-1 at BetMGM, but he's 25-1 everywhere else. And oh, by the way, Steven Yeager, this guy that we really love. Have you seen the tournament matchup between Minwoo Lee and Steven Yeager on DraftKings? Let's just do an exercise real quick. EC, what do you think? Just knowing what you know about everybody liking Steven Yeager and Minwoo Lee, like, play the game with me. What would you think the matchup, all four rounds, tournament matchup would be, Minwoo Lee versus Steven Yeager? How much is Steven Yeager favored by? What's the price on him?
-130, you would think, in general.
Yeah. You would think. And maybe even like -135, because it seems like he's getting right full steam. It's -110 each way. And it's not like that market just came out, right? Like, that it's been there. So if there was going to be this big money to attack Steven Yeager because this is a bad line, we would have actually seen that appreciate by now. It's still -110. So I think Minwoo Lee is really sneaky, not just in DFS, but in the outright market. Finally, Tom Hogan, we've talked about him. Approach play, long iron play, putter, all good. Thomas Dietrich is kind of my needle in a haystack guy. I got him at 45-1. I tweeted that out Monday morning. I just think this is the type of course. And oh, by the way, we've seen him contend in 2024 twice. He should probably have at least one win under his belt. So I don't think he's afraid of the moment at all. I don't think he's afraid, especially in this field, of a Sunday moment going against who? Like Adam Shank and Keith Mitchell and, you know, Jordan Spieth. I just don't think he's afraid of it. And I just like what he can do at a birdie fest and off the tee specifically. And by the way, you can get super hot with the putter.
All right, that's a solid list, solid four pack there. I'm going with Alex Noren. This is a crazy pick. These odds are ridiculous. Then again, Jordan Spieth is like +1400, and that's ridiculous. Just one of those weeks. Alex Noren +2500. Consistent finishes of late, 14 straight made cuts. Okay. Is he the best player on the PGA Tour without a win? Patrick, yes or no?
No.
Who would you put on at top of that list? Off at top of your head?
Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay. All right. Second best player. That's a good one. That's fair. Okay, second best player on the PGA Tour without a win. But why are the odds so low? What do the odds makers know here that everybody else doesn't? Noren's consistent, but he only has one top 10 all year. What are we doing here? I'm buying. This guy's got to win at some point. He's too talented not to. Minwoo Lee is, as Sia mentioned, been a lead off the tee this season, gained strokes with his driver in every event. Now, Australians tend to thrive on the bent grass greens. And he also, in his four wins in his career, has won birdie fests, 19 under, 18 under, 30 under, 20 under. We're going to see another one probably in the 20s, unless the wind and weather plays a factor over the weekend. And then, of course, the great Steven Yeager. When he putts well, he finishes very high. Gained 4.3 strokes on the greens in Mexico, T3. Gained 6.4 in Houston, beat Scottie Scheffler, because Scheffler missed that 5-footer to go to a playoff. Last year, when he finished T11 here, gained more than 4 strokes with the putter. I think in Texas, why not? I mean, Steven Yeager, could this be another breakout for him? He's a guy that, you know, he and Noren and Minwoo Lee, I gotta hit one of these. It's been a rough year. Not cashed an outright on this program. Scottie Scheffler, you can't, I mean, that doesn't count. So I need to hit something. So that's what we're going with. I like our card this week. Let's hope it's not one of those long shot 200-1 weeks, because then it'll be sick. But if it is, let's find out who the guys have with their long shot bets. All right, Patrick, we'll start with you. What do you got?
I went with CT. I know C is a big challenge guy. CT Pan at $105. This guy has not missed a cut since the beginning of February. The iron play is looking very, very good. He finished T3 at a wide open large Vedanta at the Mexico Open, and he finished inside the top 5 last year as well. So I'm going to take a flyer on the Olympic bronze medalist.
Wow. Now that is a trivia question. you could give me 100 golfers, and there's no way I would have guessed CT Pan winning the bronze when Xander Schauffele won. Who finished second, by the way? I can't even remember.
Rory. You will never guess it. Yeah.
But the other Rory.
Rory.
Oh, Rory Sabatini.
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, another U of A grad. Just want to point that out. Or really? U of A alum. Yeah. Yeah, Rory Sabatini.
I did not know that. Okay.
U of A guy. There you go. All right. See ya. Speaking of U of A, I mean, the segue is right there. Nate Lashley. Here we go.
Wildcats right here. Nate Lashley plus 9,000. I mean, is he going to listen? He's probably better in like a T20, T30 market, but I will say he does have good history here and the approach play has been really good. I will say this at Zurich Classic, you know, it was a partnered event. They just finished 38th, not great. Corrales, he got cut. But prior to that, he was gaining heavy on approach and he was doing okay off the tee as well. He's not necessarily a great putter, but in these tournaments that lack Scottie Scheffler, I do think there is room, especially with who we have at the top, for a Nate Lashley type to just surprise everybody. I think there's a lot of guys sort of in that 90-1 range. I don't really want to go down there. I want to be in the 25-50-1 range, but I think 90-1, I'd be willing to speculate just a couple of bucks. This is a long shot play of long shot plays, even though it's only 90-1. Let me just say real quick, I met CT. For those of you that watched the challenge,
did you really?
He's the best challenger of all time. I mean, it would be him and Johnny Bananas. I met him with his son. I was with my wife and we were at Legoland for our kids or something. I think it was Legoland in Florida. And this guy could not have been nicer. Like he stopped, really? Talked to us, took a picture with us. And you know, we were like kind of like a little bit starstruck, if I'm being honest. Like, listen, I've met a lot of celebrities. I was more starstruck meeting CT than Jamie Foxx. Like this is like a true thing. Wow. And so he saw it from us and he could not have been nicer. This guy is an absolute gem. Side note for you challenge fans on Cianajat Sports, which is my sort of motivational oriented podcast. I just did a show last month with Kylan DeYoung, challenge and Big Brother guy alumni. So check that out.
Yeah, I used to be big into the challenge. Yeah, I used to be big into the challenge. I haven't watched it actually in a few seasons, but CT is the greatest of all time. Interesting that he was kind of a mean guy, really mean guy back in the day. So it's interesting that you said how nice he is these days. Good insight. Look what you find out on the early wedge. It's not just about golf. So check out CT's podcast with the latest challenger and Big Brother competitor, who I actually don't think I know offhand. But I haven't watched the most recent seasons. So
he's new.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Now look at these three that I'm giving out here. We got parlays galore. I'm feeling really good about these. I'm putting my half unit, whatever that define that for me is. Top 10 parlay. Look at this. Noren and Minwoo Lee at plus 1,800. Hello. Top 10 parlay. Steven Yeager, KH Lee, 2,500. Oh, this is beautiful. This top 20 parlay. Adam Scott, who was talked about. Alex Noren, Mackenzie Hughes. We combine all of our picks in one at plus 1,800 for top 20. And literally, I put that in there and had no idea that was how it was going to play out. Brilliant. I'm telling you what, we've got a winner on this screen.
You might go three for three, man. You might go three for three.
I
like the first one.
I love these. I mean, I just got to get one. I like
the first one as well.
Okay. All right. There you go. Plus 1,800. Let's hammer it. Hammer it. Whatever you want to do with that. All right. Time for Liv. Liv is in Singapore. Patrick and I trying to pick a winner again. You came close last week. What happened with your boy, Louie?
Man, I'll be honest. I didn't watch it just because it was on overnight.
2 in the morning, yeah.
10 p.m. And I mean, that's late for me. So now just another runner up with Lou Oosthuizen. And if he would have won, I would have been down only, I don't know, like 10 grand lifetime on him. So it would have been nice. But I digress. We're going to go to someone else this week, which means maybe you should bet Lou Oosthuizen. I'm going with Bryson at 14-1. I think you can still get him at 12-1, which I would still play. I didn't play great last week, but let's be honest, Bryson DeChambeau in that environment is not a good combination. It's going to be much quieter there in Singapore. He played well at this event last year. Not great, but well, and he's been playing good golf over a long term. So I think the price is a little off, so I'm going to take a shot on the big hitter.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going with Joaquin Niemann, who, by the way, is probably playing like a top five golfer in the world right now. In his last 11 events, he has no lower than a T30, 3 wins and 9 top 10s in that span, which is wild. Last year, he had a T8 and shot 66s in the last two rounds. Started out with a 70, not so good, and then went 66, 66. I think he gets his third win on Live this year. And He is just, he's killing it, and he is will be a contender in majors. For those of you who play one and dones, I think Joaquin Niemann has to be a consideration maybe coming up here in one of these majors. I just have to see what he's eligible for. You don't really know with the live guys. I know there are eight guys that are going to be in the PGA Championship as of now. U.S. Open, who knows what that looks like, and the Open Championship. So we shall see. All right, before we go, guys, I want to ask you about Jordan Spieth. We didn't really talk about him. He is the favorite. Sia, why are you avoiding Jordan Spieth? Is he a fade? Is he just an avoid? Or would you maybe play him, you know, in round, let's say, or in progress?
So, listen, I think he's going to play pretty well. In other words, I think he's going to make the cut, and he's going to be a threat here and there to, like, scare the top of the leaderboard. But I don't care how good you are in Texas or on this course. The metrics are, like, pretty bad. I mean, he's not even really getting it going with the putter. The around the green play isn't good at all, actually. The approach game is pretty bad outside of the Valero Texas Open, where his ball striking was amazing. It's just one of those things where Jordan Spieth, it should never be 16 or 14 or even 18 to 1, given the state of his game. I mean, this dates back. This isn't just a few tournaments. This dates back a while now, where the approach play, outside of one or two exceptions, has been like really, really bad. And he's messing up everywhere else too. It seems like, I mean, the putter has been okay long term, but I'm not impressed with this at all. I think he should be like 22 to 1. And at that point, I'd be like, ah, the experience, the course history, the lack of talent in this field, I'd at least consider it. But it's a no in DFS, and it's a no in the outright department.
All right, Patrick, do you disagree with anything that Sia said?
No, not at all. I mean, you look, what is that? I don't have it in front of me, but his last seven tournaments, I think he has three missed cuts and a disqualification, and he doesn't have a top 10 since the Phoenix Open.
I think he got a T10 in
Valero, outside Valero.
Yeah, San Antonio. Yeah.
But I think the wrist is much more concerning than he let on originally. Mm-hmm. He talked about it at Augusta National, where it bothers him every week and he has to play through it, and sometimes it gets better as the week progresses, but he was holding his wrist at Augusta National at times. He almost withdrew from Harbortown because of that wrist early in that tournament too. So I think it's kind of tread lightly, you know, don't really get involved with Spieth until he gets that figured out maybe.
All right, Baron, I actually didn't realize the injury was a concern. But I'm staying away regardless. I mean, these results lately are – I tried in San Antonio. He had that three-week stretch of courses that he excelled at, San Antonio, Masters, RBC Heritage, and he stunk. Wrist or no wrist, pass. Just how he's the odds maker's favorite, don't bet him. If he wins, yeah.
For the record, in DFS, it's not like people are playing him. He's going to be one of the top five most owned players for sure. And given that he's also the highest priced guy, like, what are we even doing? Like, it's just that's not how you play DFS, in my opinion. Doesn't mean you can't play him if you really like somebody that's popular at the top of the board. But if you're playing somebody that has Jordan Spieth, the state of his game, I'm not exactly sure what we're doing with that type of play.
Fair enough. Well, it gets fun on the early wedge coming up next week. It's the Wells Fargo Championship, then the PGA Championship, and a bunch of other great tournaments coming up in future weeks. So get ready. The summer of golf is just about to start, and it's going to be awesome. So please make sure to like this video and subscribe to the Sportsline page. We have 82,500 people. Can we get it up to 100 here by the end of the year? Even sooner than that? Let's do it. So want to thank producer Jake. Does a great job, as always. For Patrick McDonald and Sia Nejad, I am Eric Cohen. As I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.